Pray, Heavenly Father, again we want to express our gratitude for you, Lord, for the love you shed abroad in our hearts toward you, for without that there would be just a pretense, Lord, it wouldn't be real. But we know what we have is real toward you, Father, and toward others, and we appreciate that. We ask you now to bless us in the study of your word, Father. We know that it was given to us by yourself using another man's voice. So how rich are the depths of it? We cannot plumb it of ourselves. We cannot know what is being said unless you give us the power, Lord, through the Holy Spirit within us to know the things that you've already set before us. We pray you'll help us tonight to just see the depths and the beauty of it, but all in all, the real simplicity. As Lord, we know that everything we're talking is after the fact to a great degree, because now we know what the shout is. We know it's a message. So many things, Lord, we have seen laid before us. We understand that much at least. It was laid out there in front of us. Now we pray you'll give us the ability to understand it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now this is number 25. Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And then, of course, this message of three divisions, where he speaks of Christ, the mystery of God. Not that Christ is a mystery, but that God himself was a mystery. And therefore, shining through or using the actual outraying of God, that very image, express image, which was Christ, God was able to reveal himself to us and make himself known. And, of course, in this threefold division of preeminence and revelation, preeminence, and restoration, we have been emphasizing greatly the necessary role of the prophet as God's way of acquainting the people with his operative plan, or what he's doing, has always done, and is doing now. Now, there would be no true revelation, preeminence, or restoration by God except for his prophet, for God does all of these only by and through his prophet. Now, of course, that's something that not the gates of hell, but all hell is against. And we'll show you, trusting that we will, something about that as we talk about denominations in this message. But people simply have a terrible job realizing that God does all three by a prophet. God in the prophet, as God was in Christ, making the prophet God to the people, is the way God always brings his plan into evidence. Now, in the third phase of the message, Restored Back to Eden, Brother Branham has been dealing with the restored headship of Christ, the Word, to the church. Now, we look at restoration as back to Eden, and, of course, because we're anxious to get back there and anxious to have the promise fulfilled to us and in us, we actually forget that that's only part of it. We're looking at our side. The actual truth of the matter is headship is restored back to Eden, which is Christ. See, he was the headship, he was the tree of life, and he became obscured because man was not allowed to reach forth and enter into immortality, which is the seventh seal. So he found him guarded by the cherubim. And of course, the cherubim guarding him with flaming swords is not so much the cherubim, it's the flaming swords. And Brother Branham speaks of the flaming sword in the hand of the prophet, the flaming sword of revelation. So therefore, we put that together and we understand then that Christ is hidden in his own word. What happens then, you see Christ entirely obscured, though he's in the word. Now, I don't mean obscured as though he cannot be seen, but Brother Branham said the smartest person in the world, God just throws him a curve, and he can't understand it. But it takes the wise and the prudent, and they are babes such as will learn. In other words, their minds aren't cluttered up with thoughts that have been given to them by somebody else. So we find that headship is restored, and that's what Brother Branham was dealing with as we closed off last Sunday. So we're looking back to man being restored to the garden, but you understand headship must be restored first before man can be restored. And then you understand also that the fall took place in the Garden of Eden, which was God's kingdom on earth. And at that particular time then, the kingdom was there in a non-fulfilled manner. That's right. And now today, getting back, we'll find ourselves under headship and restoration, a kingdom in a non-fulfilled manner. Which, in other words, it isn't where it's going to be, but it's here and now. Now, the church under Satan, this is what we want to talk about, organization. The church under Satan took a perfect step by organization to deny this headship. And you'll notice that this headship always was denied God, particularly at the time when people had the headship of God and the opportunity to continue under that headship, and they organized and gave themselves a king. And it was in Canaan's land, the promised land, which was the kingdom of God, because Israel was a theocracy with prophets. That's when they set the headship to one side, and they took themselves a king. And the king began to take over and legislate what he wanted, and he set the rules of God aside until you found every single king destroying the very precepts of God, the thing that he was set there to do and help the people with. Now, he wasn't a priest, but he was a legislator, and his legislation should have been in line with what was taught by the priests and by the prophets. So at Nicaea, also, even as with Israel, we find when headship was given to the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit himself, and he had instituted a prophet, you'll notice how quickly the people turned on the prophet Paul, and it wasn't too long until they began instituting elders. And this is the thing I simply can't understand with people, why they want to get back to an elder system or something which is not in the Bible. Latter rain did it. But there's that great desire to put God to one side and be somebody. It's prevalent. It's all over the place. And we'll see some things tonight, I trust we'll see them and understand, that are pretty sickening. I mean, it will give you a cold feeling to know what could actually go on. I don't know just how we'll get to it. We try to be very slow tonight, take our time here. But you see, they did not want a prophet. They couldn't take that, because that is the way that God deals with people. He takes one person, and he doesn't take a succession of persons by those persons deciding what is going to be done. It is a continued word of God. And that's why you'll see that the churches today cannot stand a prophet, and which is God's way of doing it. Hebrews 13:8. And so you'll see that the church finally puts him out. And they did, and according to 2 Peter, the second chapter, at this particular time of the epical season, it says here, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there should be false teachers among you. Now you see, most of these theologians, they're not prophets. They couldn't produce anything. They can't even produce a sneeze by tickling their noses. You know, that's about all they got. So they come in with their highfalutin language and their great teaching and their comparison of scripture, which they know nothing of, and they'll pull a little deed on you. But these false teachers who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, you know that's for this hour, because swift destruction isn't 2,000 years in taking place. So he's talking about what's in the last days, the epical season of the presence of the Lord, the appearing, the time of the appearing, the time of the Son of Man. They're going to say no to the Lord. And that's when they put him out, and then he says, come out of her, my people. So, all right. When you're talking then about restoration and headship, you got to talk about headship at the same time you talk about restoration. And it's not simply restoration of Adam and Eve. It's restoration of headship, so that Adam and Eve can come back. You follow now? Okay. So Brother Branham was talking about the church and her adulteries, her organization, on the top of page 76. And he says here that the cup of her iniquity, which she's toasting the world with, and the world is toasting her, is their mutual admiration society of complete blasphemy. And when the Protestants and Catholics can get together, it's over, and they've gotten together. And even the finest people we know of have been completely fooled by ecumenism. Now, so, he says here, how do you know the word is right? There's nothing but the word, and that's got to be right. That's right. How do you know it is right? All right? The word is vindicated. He, the word properly vindicated, is the headship, the head of the church. Now, that's Logos himself. That's the Holy Spirit in a form whereby he is manifesting to the church. And you know, the manifestation as to the personal presence has to be to a very certain kind of a prophet like Moses. Now, he said, if I speak to prophets in Numbers 12, he said, if I speak to other people, I'll do it by dreams and by visions. But you, I will speak to face, even apparently, I will show you myself in a visible form. Remember when God did show himself even to Moses, Moses wanted another visible form rather than the pillar of fire. God showed him the back of a man, showing down the road. Even Moses couldn't fully comprehend Christ. He couldn't see him face to face. There's no way he could, so he could see his back. In other words, he could see him coming up through the ages. and then the face turned and showed exactly who they're looking at. We have the distinction of seeing him face to face, but they put a veil on his face. Now the veil's got to come off. Okay, he the word is vindicated. He the word properly vindicated. What's properly? The way God does things, through a prophet, according to the word, bringing the word to pass. He's the head of the church. He is the word, the headship. Now that's Logos, but then again, it's not just Logos. It's Logos manifested according to the thought word, which was in the mind of God, and then spoken and written by the prophets and the men that the scribes that copied it for him. He's properly identified. That's the same thing we said already. Vindicated by his own spirit being in the church itself, the person showing him forth himself in vindication is the direct proof to the entire body. Now that's not in you and me. That's not Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's Christ in the church, the person himself, Elohim, vindicating himself, showing exactly who he is, and he's got to be here to do it. That's how the Lord descended with the shout. Well, the Lord couldn't descend any other way. What if he used a pillar of fire in this room and it blazed? We'd go crazy. So who needs it? I'm a rough talker, and I don't mean to be nasty, and I don't mean to be blasphemous and crude concerning God, but I have to teach this way to get what I'm driving across. You tell me who needs it. You don't need that. You can't handle that. And if you can't handle it, you don't need it. Eat cucumbers, give you indigestion. Okay, eat cucumbers, get indigestion. Try to face this, you'll drop dead. Who wants it? You say, I want it. Sure, but not in that form. But the world out there says, yeah, we want it that form. We want to see. Go ahead and die. Go ahead. And answer to God for it. See? Now, God has got too much mercy to allow that kind of stupidity, because we're plumb stupid. He won't allow it. So he sends a prophet. Then men don't want the prophet. So you see, there's a problem. Properly identified, the person. To the, by direct proof to the entire body. What is the direct proof if God cannot deal with you and me personally? He descends with a shout. See, and the shout is not said to be the very voice of God himself. God always uses a prophet. See? I'm telling you, there's no church wants Brother Branham. No church wants us. We're worse than Hogan's goat in their sight. Brother Branham stood between the Trinity and the oneness. We stand there. People think I preach two gods. I don't preach two gods, I preach one God. They know what we're talking about. They don't know he had a son. They don't know he's got a son. There's something wrong somewhere. William Branham was not oneness in his doctrine of the religious denomination. He believed in one God, in a oneness of one God, the same as we do. Man's got up and Pope and tells you that, that you can't remember anything when you were back there with the sons of God shouting, but Jesus can because you're in the theophonic form, with the former glory. And you tell me that doesn't designate a person? You better start thinking. Probably people are too scared to think. Even with the prophet telling us what to think. And I mean that, to think upon these things. Not to think your own thoughts, but to think upon these things that are laid out before us. See, by direct proof to the entire body. You know that's Ephesians 1:17. Because that's to the entire body. You know it's also Revelation 10:1-7 and so on. We'll get into that. You don't need creeds then, because there's no proof in them. Denominations have perished. They're twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Leaving neither root nor branch pretty soon. But the headship itself, recognized in the body by personal identifications, because he did many ways to identify himself, which of the great one was Genesis 18 and John 4. The man with the back to the tent and the man reading the woman's heart. The last sign to the church. Proves headship to the body. Not only that, but he vindicated himself in signs and wonders. With thus saith the Lord. Showing that a man's voice will not do what the man's voice said, so therefore, though it's a man's voice, it's not the man's words, and it's not the man's will. See? Follow? Okay. Proves his identity and his headship to the body. Then we are united under one vindicated headship, that is Christ, the Word of God, not under any church, if, of course, and Lee Bale's adding this, you believe what's said here. But if you don't believe what's there, you're not under any headship of God. See? Then our headship is a kingdom. Now, says our headship is a kingdom. What is our headship? The indisputable, the indisputably, undisputed, vindicated Christ fulfilling the word of this hour, predicated upon fulfilling every manifestation incumbent upon him to prove he was that one, fulfilling the word of this hour. And that's not a Philadelphia word. That's exactly the way I want to say it, and I said it. If you haven't got it, play the tape back. Simple as ABC. Our headship is a kingdom. Now, the kingdom of God is within you. Okay, we're going to link the two together. Jesus, they said unto him, and we know that in Luke 17, when's the kingdom going to come? He said, it's going to come, okay, all right, but he said, you won't know when it's going to get there because it comes without observation. You can't just tell. That's the presence. It always has been that way. It's always going to be that way. You think for 1 minute, Elijah, that prophet of God, here's old Elijah, here's Moses, here's any prophet, you name anyone you want. Oh, somebody, some great woman, oh yes, especially woman, some great man, especially several great men. And they're looking, oh, I spot that that is a prophet. I know he's going to grow up to be a prophet. So they wander around, look here, day after day, year after year. John was said to be a prophet, pointing out Christ. Did they follow him? No, they didn't follow him. They cared not two bits. Couldn't even tell when a prophet was on the scene. Suddenly the prophet was there. A manifestation. Poor old John, wild as a gourd. As a camel got stung by a bee. Out there just loping around and coming to that river and preaching his skull off almost. Well, they said, that fellow sure got something. Don't know what it is, but he could be something. Why don't you look at the records? They'd have found out who he was. Well, I'm trying to show you something. Always the man is there. And then you recognize something is there. You don't know about the coming. You can't trace it. I don't care what God said about it. You cannot trace it. They knew this woman was going to have a baby. And she said, I'll tell you how it is. I don't know a man. It was the Holy Ghost that did it, creating in my womb. Oh, they said, hogwash. Now, if anybody would have thought that was the truth, and evidently your own husband didn't think too much of it, and nobody else thought too much of it, they'd have watched and they watched and they watched. And God had to keep wrapping Joseph all the time, sorting the rest of them. What I'm trying to show you is this. These things, brother, sister, are so phenomenal, unless you're a child and you're thinking, let God do something for you, you're not going to get anything. So here's the kingdom of God amongst them. And he said, it doesn't come with observation. It'll be there and you won't even know it. And there it is. Everything's that way. Did William Brandt, what about him? Well, the little white came in the room and hung over his crib. His mother, Ellen, his father, Charles, knew nothing what it meant. I suppose his grandmother might have known a little bit. I don't know. She's a saint Christian woman. I don't think she knew too much. His old mother sure didn't know much. His dad didn't know anything. Everybody followed him around. And suddenly, begins to take to people's eyes. Where'd this man come from? Well, he didn't come from us. That's secure him. How does that man preach? Well, he doesn't preach too good, but he sure knows he's talking about evidently because something happens. Well, he can't be too much because after all, he's not with us. But you see, always, that's the way Perugia is in presence. The Lord descending with a shout when he appeared in the river. Who knew he was going to appear? The prophet did not know when he was going to appear. Unless it was momentary. John the Baptist didn't know. Just knew something was going to happen. All right, the kingdom appeared. So we got headship, which signifies the king is here. Brother Branham said he was here. So the king is here. So that is the setting up of a kingdom. Then the kingdom must be within. We're not a denomination. Now, we belong to a kingdom. And the kingdom, listen to this carefully. The kingdom is the word of God made spirit and life in our life. Not lives, now our life. Bringing to pass every promise in this day as it did in that day when the Word and God was one. The kingdom of God was upon earth because that was God's headquarters. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Headship. Completely in a tube. To repeat in Matthew 12. to bring about the promises of this hour. What are the promises of this hour? The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of an archangel, the trump of God. There's going to be a resurrection. There's going to be a change to immortality. See? That is the scripture we're relying upon, the promise for this hour. The Lord descending is Ephesians 1 and 17. The Lord descending is Revelation 10 and 1. The manifestation to bring about the resurrection and the change is the manifestation of Luke 1, of Luke 12. Let's go to Luke 12 a second. I beg your pardon. Matthew 12. It's Luke 17 and Matthew 12. We want Matthew 12. And he says here, in the end time, this one to come into the Gentiles. He shall show Gentiles. He shall vindicate the Gentiles in verse 18. At that time, in his vindication, he shall restore the reed and the smoking flax. And he shall do this until the Gentile bride has a victory. She'd been put down all the time till now, massacred, everything else. But this time she's going to escape the great tribulation, and the rest are going to hear and burn, be hearing burn. Now those are the promises of this hour. Malachi 4 is the epitomization of it. God and his prophet, which is identical to Revelation 10 and 1 and Revelation 10 and 7, which is that same thing. There is no difference. So there you see, the kingdom is the word of God made spirit in our life. That's God himself taking over in the form of the Holy Ghost in a pillar of fire with the prophet, manifesting and vindicating and showing exactly who he is in order to satisfy us that these promises of this hour are coming to pass and will entirely come to pass. See? Now, as it did in that day when the word in God was one. One person. You've got the same thing. And God manifested in a human form once more in a prophet. That doesn't make him God. God's God. It didn't make Jesus. God made him a son of God. The prophets are sons of men. But they are sons of God. Now, the word and God are one in his church today, making it the headship of the body, that is the redeemed body, to bring the message in the last day and be taken up from the dead in the resurrection. In plain English, he's telling you that all this we've talked about shows the headship is here to a redeemed body, which means the whole body is in the state of complete redemption and we're the last ones coming in. Child trained to be taken up. And this demands a message to explain who is here, what is going on, how it is going on, and what it all means. Because it's always after the fact. Only the prophet comes before the fact. We'll see that later on. Okay. Identification. Now, watch. He's going to, let's go a little further here. To restore, to go back and restore again as Adam and Eve in the beginning of the Garden of God. Now remember, in the Garden of God, that's his own possession, it's his own place of government, and he is there, and he allows these people to be with him. And he is here with us now. So therefore we have a Garden of Eden condition, intrinsically, not specifically manifested, but manifested to the point where we know that we know that we know. Follow? Okay, now he begins to talk about this in the Exodus in the time of Moses. Notice now, united together under one headship, in a like manner, type of Israel of old. Now are you getting it? Remember, he's been talking about himself all the time. And God the pillar of fire, in a pillar of fire. And the people there, standing there. He said, are you getting it? We're going through the same thing today. Israel of old, one God, vindicated by a pillar of fire, and revealed himself through a prophet to be the word. Revealed himself through a prophet to be the word. They said, what's that pillar of fire, all this stuff about a pillar of fire? See, it takes one person. That's why the church constitutes all hell against one man doing it. All hell was against Jesus doing it when he was in the flesh. So all hell must be against him again when he's here in the spirit. And the gates of hell are against the presence that he's descended with the shout. Now, you want to know what all hell's against? Why you got troubles in every hand? Why it's hard to get healed, everything else under God's high heaven? Because you're being completely ravished as much as the devil can ravish you and destroy you. Why you think your minds are going this way and that way like a bunch of neon lights? Look, and I know this message. I know where I come from, what I'm talking about. I don't know if any man living knows more about this than I do. And I'm not boasting. I'm just telling you the truth as I believe it. And what I understand, word by word. And you think my mind doesn't go bluey? Ha! The minute you say something over a pulpit, the minute you talk about this message, that's the time Satan can attack you. And he does it too, and don't think he doesn't. A million different ways he'll attack you. He'll try to kill you too. Don't think he won't. See, vindicated and revealed through a prophet to be the word. The same God, same pillar of fire, same way. He cannot change his way. It's that. Just as perfect as can be, isn't it? One God. What's he talking about? We belong to a kingdom. And the kingdom is the word of God made spirit and life in our life. Bringing to pass every promise in this day as it was in that day when the word and God was one. What was the word of God one back there in the time of the pillar of fire of Moses? What happened? Exodus. What about the time of Jesus? Exodus. What about the time of Paul? Exodus. What about us? The great Exodus. This is the big one. Fewer than any time. But bigger and better than any time. Okay, how many gods does Israel have? How many is the bride got? How many will there ever be? Under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, which was the pillar of fire in the days of Moses, the great prophet. He was directed by a pillar of fire. Is that right? All right, going to a promised land. And in the Christian age, there was one God, which appeared in the form of a pillar of fire, the prophet called Paul, who was sent to the Gentiles to take a people out of his for his name's sake. Is that right? And in the last days has come down in like manner, vindicating himself in the same sign, same wonder, same pillar of fire, same gospel, same word, same manifestations. His body will do the works that he promised, like in Mark 16 and so forth. Now, the body can do that, but that's not for that one man we're talking about. Let's read Mark 16. Let's find out what it's all about, because I don't want people to be confused here. I sure am not, and I don't want you confused either. Mark 16 and 1. 16 and 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. These signs shall follow them that believe. Okay, that's very good. Let's go to Hebrews, the second chapter. And it says here, third verse, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. You notice that's after the fact. That is after the fact. The prophet is before the fact. He doesn't say one word. He shows a sign, then he starts talking. These people here in Mark and the rest of the Bible, they've done their talking. Now God's got to back him up. But the prophet isn't that kind of a fella. He's got to come in the name of the Lord and produce the sign, then you listen to him. There's a big difference. We just want to make the difference there. Now, it says here, his body was not held in the grave. That's when he was here on earth and died. But was recognized with him in the resurrection. Now the body itself was dead. But Jesus was not dead as far as death is concerned, which means the second death, which is annihilation. He was in the first death, which is separation from God. He was separated. His spirit went back to God. Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell. He was down there with the rest of them. And he was recognized. You couldn't help but recognize him because he tore the gates of hell off and led captivity captive. Now listen, he was recognized in the form of the Spirit. And the same one that raised him recognized his body. What am I driving at this? That you can't bypass a resurrection. And you can't think that God's going to bypass anybody's body in the grave or your body here when you're standing here. He takes your body and you go with it. The body is recognized. Either the single body or the corporate body, which is the bride. So it says here, his body was not held in the grave. Jesus certainly was not held in upper Sheol, nor in lower Sheol, or any Sheol, or any place. Because they couldn't do it. Why? Because he suffered unjustly. He wasn't there for his own sins. So what are you going to do with a fellow like that? He said, I got power to give him my life, and I got power to take it. You bet he did, because there wasn't a thing to hold him. The perfect Lamb of God. So then he recognized the body. Now, do you get it? Do we understand that? Then the body of his believing children will not be held in the grave when he comes. But we recognize with him, when he comes, that coming concerning the body that everybody thinks of is that meeting in the air. When he come on down the body form. Let's find out about this. He's talking about this coming. We go to Ephesians. I beg your pardon. 1 Corinthians. See, I tell you, the devil fights you on every hand, no matter what you are, who you are. Stumbles your tongue, everything else. 1 Corinthians 15. But now is Christ risen from the dead, verse 20. And become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Jesus' soul didn't have to have a resurrection. Talking about the body. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at his presence. That's what happened. His resurrection was there when he was present in spirit form. He came out and got in his body. Then they come out and got in their body too. What form was he in? In the form of the spirit. Who raises the dead? God raises the dead. What form is he? Spirit. So, all right then. Who descends with the shout? God did, Elohim. Jesus Christ, that spirit. Jehovah, the Old Testament. Jesus wasn't born at that time. The Jesus we're talking about is Jehovah God. One God that took upon himself a body. Now that one's come down here. What for? In order to get the dead out of the ground. And he sets himself at the head of the church. Just what Brother Branham says in this message. Then, therefore, that headship which is he takes us to the other headship, which is incarnation. You follow it. It's simple as ABC, the same one that says, in whom I am pleased to dwell, has come down here without that dwelling and will take us to that dwelling. Elohim said to Adonai. The Lord said to my Lord. The great mister said to my mister. Christ is the head of the church. God is the head of Christ. It doesn't change. When the Lamb is on the throne, the pillar fires over the throne. But they're one. It's the same one because one is simply the outer manifestation of the outreign in a physical form of the great God. And what more do you want? One God. There'll only be one life there too, brother, sister, and that bride. That's going to be God's life and the kingdom outside. What's in the angels, I don't know and don't pretend to know, and I'm not interested in knowing. That's their business. I don't know if you caught what I was trying to bring to your attention at that point, but it's all right. You'll get it someday. His believing children will not be held in the grave when he comes, but will be recognized with him. Recognized with him. Recognize what I just read here. They that are Christ, that is parousia. His presence. Then people say, well, he's always been here. Why don't we have resurrections then? He's always been here. So why? Oh, God, I hope there's nobody believes that way. But it's a million to one. You've got relatives that believe that, so it's all right. I don't think I got one relative. Yeah, I could easily have one relative. The rest of them just are trying to follow along best they can. My kids, I don't think they know anything. We'll be recognized with him. Because he died for the purpose to recognize his bride, the body. Many-membered body. Recognized because it is his body. Now, they're recognized because it is his body. Do you think that when Jesus, the man, spirit man, came out of Sheol, that he could have just jumped into anybody? Certainly not. Do you think then these are going to jump into just anybody? Or did he just raise anybody? No. Identified. The identified bride's going to come out. See? Because it's the Word. It's so completely yielded from denominations and thinks to him, and he is the Word. Now, those bunch down there, you don't have to worry about them, wherever they are. Yielded, you bet they're yielded. Where are the guys he's talking about now? A church that's yielded. Identified with the prophet that was so yielded. That he can give God the perfect preeminence, says. No matter where the preeminence was meant to be, he gave it to God. Gave him all the glory. The majesty. Now. He is the Word, see. And is recognized with Him because now we have the first fruit of our resurrection. We have the first fruit. Well, who is the first fruit? He is the first fruit. What form is He here in? The Holy Ghost. Sure, we got the first fruits. We got the signs of the resurrection. Christ among us showing He's living. Brother Branham always said, if he's here in the form of the Holy Spirit, if Christ be risen from the dead and is here in the form of the Holy Spirit, He will now do the same things in the Spirit He did in the flesh when He was upon earth. So we got the first fruit. We got the evidence. We know who it is. He is our resurrection. So therefore we know He is here. Not physically now. Unless you want to call the pillar of fire physical. That's all right by me. Because that is a physical thing in the sense of the word. To know that we have passed from death unto life. Spiritual resurrection for you and me. Became prisoners of Him. And proving to us by His personal headship that He is the same yesterday and forever, doing the same things through the church that He did then, He and me and I and you and you know and so forth. And He clips it right off there because you and I are not in that. We are in Him and He in us. And we are from the Father of one, but not like this. No way, shape, and form. That's right. His body was not held in the grave, recognized with Him in the resurrection, same as He is now. And He's recognized now. He's here. We know He's here. It means resurrection. Listen, which means this. His word, which is, has begun to rise. The word, it began rising a long time ago. The word that down through the ages, the age of Luther Wesley, has begun to rise up in His power. There it began to move. Then moved a little more. Now it's coming up to identification. What's coming up to identification? What was in the Bible in the seven church ages and written by historians for 2,000 years, so we've got the records, it's been proven that life back there that moved up is the same life that was on earth 2,000 years ago in a person. Now only a prophet could do that. No historian, nobody else could do it. It took a prophet just like Moses, who wrote most of the first five books, if not all of the first five books. Part of it I don't think he could have written. But then again, who knows? But Moses was that historian for the book of Genesis in particular. And notice, he took the complete history up to the moment where he stood in the economy of God. So did William Branham. And he proved it by vindication that life now had come to headship. Then get out of the way, you popes and bishops and all you cardinals and elders and you hotshots. And the fivefold ministry that's from the pit. See? Watch. Now listen. This man tells us right here that they without us could not be made perfect. We had to be on the scene at the time of this prophet in order for a resurrection. And the one that Luther and everybody looked forward to is here now. They didn't know that's what they were looking for. They were looking for the pillar of fire and didn't know it. They all thought we're looking for the great coming. Meet Him in the air. Hallelujah. Nobody understood what was to be down here on earth. Even though it said Elijah must truly come. Because you can only know after the fact. Take someone to show him to tell you. Watch now. See. Now as to the life in the body. It is a vindication of the rapture that is at hand. Now, I've changed that reading a bit so you'll understand it. Here's what he said here in his way of saying it. Now, to the life in the body is a vindication of the rapture at hand. Now, you could say, well, that's perfectly true, too. The fact of life in our body, that spirit in us, can see the vindication. It knows the rapture is at hand. That's all right, too. But look at it this way. Let's read it this way. As to the life in the body, one, it is a vindication of the rapture that is at hand. And when you see, number one, the headship of the body becoming one, and then in there two, and the fullness of the measure of His manifestation, it shows that the body is about to be received to the headship. Let's go over that. When you see the headship of the body, I read the way it's written here, said here. When you see the body, when you see the headship and the body becoming one, and the fullness of the measure of His manifestation, shows that the body is about ready to be received to headship. I don't like that. That is not the way I punctuate it. I don't see it that way. I see it this way. When you see, one, the headship and the body becoming one, colon and a dash, and the fullness of the measure of His manifestation, In other words, here tells me this. When you see the fullness of the fullness of the measure of his manifestation, which means every scripture for this hour fulfilled as to his appearing, the Elijah ministry, you know headship and the body are one. Coming to the place that the body is about to be received to the headship, which is what? Caught up to the physical body. Now, nobody can sit here tonight and tell me that we don't know there's going to be a rapture in a hurry. You say, how big is a hurry? Don't ask me. It could be 10 years, 25, 100. Who knows? But this message foreruns it. And I'll tell you, maybe God's got to wait for a new crop of kids to come up that don't have any thought, but the real thoughts, not old codgers like me that have such a terrible time getting rid of it. And if I was this close to the prophet and got a gift to teach him, so that I can see things a lot of people don't see, I can understand how a lot of people are going to have an awful hard time. Because they will not see this word correctly. They just can't. They're too full of creeds and dogmas. So therefore, headship means of this resurrection time, immortality time, which is going to take us to the headship. Now let's take a look at this. I just quoted you. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and age be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. Meet in clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The recognition of headship will take you to headship. The non-recognition of headship will keep you from the headship. And that's why the gates of hell and all hell is against this teaching tonight. So I hope you're beginning to see something. You've got something more precious than silver and gold. So therefore, Christ, who is our life, is now appearing. The body is not the life. The spirit is life and gives life to the body. Why do you think your body dies? Because the spirit goes and the soul lingers and the soul goes. Conditions are after. His presence in the individual with the personal vindication of himself, expressing himself, the living word that's promised for the day, expressing himself through you, vindication of the great revelation of God. Look, only in an individual, never in a group. That's what all hell's against. And the gates of hell against the presence. So the whole, all of hell is against it. All organization, all denominations, the whole bit. Now, nations are breaking, Israel's awakening. What is he trying to tell you? The first step to make you to know this has to come to pass. Israel's in the homeland. The fullness of the Gentiles is at hand. And the fullness, my brother, my sister, is not only when the last Gentile comes in. That does not constitute a full body. Head constitutes a full body. So that tells you that it's time for the rapture, the whole thing. Okay, he has begun to give life unto his body. Why? The one that he has redeemed, because they're redeemed, the mediatorial work is done. He's bringing life to the body in the vindication for the rapture. Notice there's got to be, the rapture's got to be vindicated, and whatever's to bring the rapture's got to be vindicated, which is what? Shout, voice, trumpet. And remember, the gathering is by a trumpet. Remember, the gathering is by a message. Remember, the last trumpet's got to sound to bring on immortality. And the last trumpet is the word of God. Bring on your holy vesture with the word of God standing by. All right, bring ye life to the body. Christ, who is our life, has appeared, and we shall appear with him in glory. Now, one more great remark I want to make, if I have to move over a little of it. Now notice, listen to this. Now is the great thing. Now is where we want to watch. Remember, in the last days, we'll go exactly back and vindicate the first day. See, Adam and Eve, husband and wife, no sin, life, then the fall. Notice. Notice what caused it. Lucifer. Lucifer is doing now as he did at the first time. Just as the kingdom of the Gentiles was brought in with King Nebuchadnezzar, vindicated the Gentile race by a prophet who could interpret unknown tongues, visions, and dreams. Now he said, vindicated the Gentiles. Vindicated what? That the Gentiles did have a part by the very fact a prophet came to them under Nebuchadnezzar, the king, and did reveal the secrets of God. And the secrets of God were revealed to Israel while they were under a Gentile denomination, or Gentile nations. Now notice, and it's coming down, it's come down through the Gentiles without anything, just Medo Persians and iron and so forth, and it goes, and in the feet it goes out the same way again, the Gentile kingdom. How? With a prophet that can interpret visions and tell dreams that you dreamed everything else. plus the fact that it came with unknown tongues. It goes out with the tongues movement. Notice, Lucifer in the last days is doing as he did at first. What did Lucifer do? The first thing that Lucifer did to separate the fellowship of God and man, he wanted to build him a united kingdom, a greater splendor and seemingly more cultured, a greater kingdom than Michael, Christ had. Michael and Christ were one at that time. You got it? Now, if you miss it, hold your hand up. I'll say it again. See? Lucifer at the beginning. His purpose in heart was to achieve a brighter and greater thing in heaven than Christ had, is that right, by seemingly a more cultured, more beautiful, more splendid than the kingdom of Christ. Do you think we'll have automobiles in the millennium and airplanes? See? So let's see what Lucifer's doing. Now, Lucifer tried to build his kingdom. Now listen carefully to this. Lucifer tried to build his kingdom with and through God's own kingdom. Well, is that right? Well, come on, think it over. Did Lucifer have a kingdom? No. What did he use? He used God's kingdom. So he tried to use God's kingdom to build with and through his own kingdom. And he even did the same thing in Eden, didn't he? Then what's he going to do in the church? Same thing. He's going to take the church and build his own kingdom. So that he is enshrined in the church, which is Antichrist. There's denominations. Now the big fancy intellectual denominations are doing the very same thing, gathering themselves together to do the same thing. They're gathering and denominating themselves, each one trying to beat the other. And now they got so much splendor, they don't know what to do but to unite with the Catholic Church. See, Lucifer again building a bigger kingdom to push out the people that don't believe in denominations and to even take their church buildings and make storerooms, and the pastors of such have no rights at all. And a man that is a God-sent man would never stay in denomination after hearing this or seeing it if he's got enough to go out and look at it. He doesn't, though, most of them. Certainly, see? I don't say that critically. I say that truthfully, see? To see that revealed. To see what revealed? The word for this hour revealed in human flesh by the Spirit of the living God. Notice, in this last days, I like that this last days, he's lumping it all together. Listen, from the time that this broke, there's no interruptions. Oh, I know it feels like it, but don't you kid yourself. The log jam, the key log has been taken out, and the skids have been greased. And there's nobody going to stop it. Notice in this last days, Lucifer's doing the same thing. Can you see it? The devil doing the same thing. Building up a hybrid church. A hybrid. By hybrid members. Hybrid by knowledge instead of the word. By intellectual man instead of the born again man. Building up an intellectual kingdom that will outshine Christ's little itty bitty flock. See? What is it that did that? Fallen angels. The Bible said it was fallen angels who listened to Lucifer instead of Christ, who once belonged to. Who they once belonged to, has belonged to Christ. Is that right? In other words, this was corrupted seed. You find the Lutherans that preach Luther and the Wesleyans that preach Wesley. And the original Pentecost that really preached the Pentecost, that God knows they were missed from the beginning. Because they've got their history. They never were on the Word. All they had was restored gifts. They never had the Word. Never did, never will have. They were hybrid from the Word go. Except that little tiny flock in there. Now listen close. Fallen angels. What kind of angels? Lutherans, Wesleyans, Catholics, Pentecostals, who kept not their first estate like the angels did and have fallen into organizations like Lucifer's main hold at Nicaea. It wasn't Luther that organized. Although he had organization in him. Organization started in the first church. Right under Paul. Paul didn't start it. It started there. And the elders got together. The very people that were going to give their eyes to Paul and loved him and stood right with him, that had the message from him, they just turned on him. They had no trouble at all. They were false brethren brought in unawares. They never had in the first place. What have they done? Organized a great ecumenical association of ministers to make an image to the beast, as the Bible said, and building up a Christian economy to close the doors of this church and others like it. See Lucifer and his work? I'm trying to bring you the threefold revelation, a mystery of God. Now, he's trying to let you know here under restoration, you got to get back to headship. And headship denies any authoritarian rule outside of that which has been vindicated. See? What did God do? Sold out to reason. What did they do? Sold out to reasonings of wisdom and education like Eve did, fallen angels. Now, that's the face of the man that degenerated to what man brings forth, which is corruption. See? Wesley was a man of God. But what followed him? See, Luther, they're all men of God. What followed? Fallen angels got into it. What was the angels first? Created beings of God, but fell for Lucifer's wisdom. And you see what they became? Fallen angels. and organizations from men of God who've gone forth to establish truth in the earth before that truth could go along and be proclaimed and get on to the real revelation of Christ, fallen angels came in and took it over and made denominations out of it. Now, what does that explain? That explained why it took so long for this thing to come to pass. And couldn't only come to pass to the last. When it got to the end, then God had to step in and do something. See? This is why you come, this is why it ends up in Thessalonians, the 2nd Thessalonians, the 2nd chapter. Where Paul beseeches them to wait for the message. And don't be deceived by anything that comes to you, no matter what it is. Because there's going to come this falling away, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. And then it says in here, in verse 8, then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy the brightness of his presence. That's when he physically confronts him. Whose coming is after the work of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. There again, you'll notice right there, who's coming, who's appearing. You think for 1 minute that people know that that's the devil himself incarnating himself in a pope? You think they believe that? You've got to be sick if you think that people believe that and understand and know it. It's going to be too late when they find out you can't buy and or sell and you got to worship him. That's when the people say, I can't take that. That's when they kill the foolish virgin. In the meantime, isn't this wonderful? Oh my, this is great. Oh, look what he's doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we got bread in the table, corn pone and chitlins. Yeah, more than that. Might even buy lamb chops, and sirloin roast, standing rib, cheesecake, and bagels with lox. What a coffee is $10 a pound. Everybody eat a bit. Oh, that's great. Commercialism in the church. And with all deceivableness and unrighteousness in them that perish. Oh, man, he hews that down the line. Everything he does is fantastically beautiful, wonderful. Because they receive not the love of the truth. They're going to die. For this cause, God sends a strong delusion. God just steps in right then. Stronger than he's even done now. He's already sent strong delusion with the gifts of the Spirit. You don't have a gift of the Spirit. I give you my pen. You don't have me. I get a lot of women got pregnant by men that didn't get the man either. They just got his seed. Got messed up. You didn't get the man. You thought you had the man. The married wife has the man. Hagar didn't have the man. She just thought he had the man. Let's bring it right down to the line. A lot of thinking going on, but you're all messed up in your thinking. You better be impregnated by the man disseminating the seed. Not by the man himself, but by the seed of the sower that was sown in him by the great sower. Y'all might be damned believing not the truth, but in pleasure and erections. They took pleasure in their own way of worshiping. Took pleasure in their own revelation. Their own ecumenical societies. Their own little synods. And theological seminars. And they got messed up. Oh yeah, they're going to be just like this tax reform. I'll tell you what happened. Maybe Sunday I'll give you a little illustration of what this tax reform has really done for you. You're sitting on a... Forget it. Everybody claps. Oh, there's a big reform. Big reform. Is there? Wait till they start taking your money. Start next year, too. Oh, well, I'll tell you something on Sunday. You won't believe it. It's okay. You'll believe it, but you won't do anything about it. Don't think. Like me, I won't do much either. But there's something you can be done about different things. Number one, get yourself the best accounting you can possibly get. That's the reason the revelation of seven seal mysteries gone for. That's where you better get the best profit you can get on this message, too. See? It ends up that way. Now, that's the reason denominations took over. That's the reason the revelation of the seven seal mystery had to be unfolded. Now, do you see it? What they left off. If Luther had gone on, it had been here. If Wesley had gone on, if Pentecost had gone on, what would they have done? Now, he said here, he brings out this fact, I'm trying to show you the mystery of this great revelation. Trying to bring you. Now, the mystery of God then is unfolded before us. God in manifestation, which is Logos, which is Christ, which is a prophet. And you better be careful what I just said there. Because remember, Christ means anointed one. And so therefore, God, the great anointer, and the great anointing himself, must have someone to work in and through as the Apostle Paul, and he has it now. And when Paul saw the pillar of fire, Logos, he said, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus, pure and simple, Jehovah God. You follow? Okay. So therefore, that's what we're looking at. All right. Now, there's only one thing can happen. There has to be a message at the end time when there is nothing else can follow it. In other words, denomination started this thing. Lucifer started this thing. He did it as a counterplay against the great revelation of Christ. And you say, how would he know that? Because he withstood Christ. He withstood the manifestation of God and God, what God was doing in his manifestation and his express image. He was studying. So what's he going to do? Constantly withstand. He's got that much on the ball. But he doesn't understand a lot of things. He didn't know just how this would be done. And Brother Branham said if Satan could get a hold of this, he'd do great damage. But he couldn't get a hold of it until the prophet stood there. And he said, the shout is the message. The voice is the resurrection. The trumpet is the assembling. Too late. Do what you want, Satan. Doesn't matter. We know now. Do you think Satan can, what can Satan do to take that from you? Now, he could torture your flesh until you denied it, but could he take it from you? You could go down in disgrace, and I could go down in disgrace, but what can take it from you? Nothing. But God will give grace to sustain. The devil cannot take away a revelation once it's in there, burned upon the heart. So you see, what's it all boil down to? It all boils down to this, to you and me. Whatever happened, and a whole lot did happen. Thank God it did happen. That was merely to attract us to the explanation, which was God coming on the scene to perform the word of promise in the bride in this hour. Which is what? Him raising the dead. Immortality. Catching us away to the wedding supper and coming back. That's an ongoing trust at this moment. Time and eternity blending and all of these things. Just like you know the seven seal is. The word of God coming from Genesis right to Revelation. Just think, we've studied this word for all these years, but it takes a word-by-word study to get the truth of the seven seals from Genesis to Revelation. It doesn't mean maybe some fellow's got it all figured out. I don't figure out nothing. If I don't stumble upon it, believe me. I'm like the guy that has to find the rake by stepping on the end so the stick of a point just about knocks your brains out. Have you ever had it happen? I've had it happen so many times. A hole in a rake, just getting mad, you swoo, you just get livid with rage. It's boing. You're smacking the big nose is worse still. That's the way it is. Try to figure nothing. Wait till it hits you in the face. That's revelation. Don't try to make things work out. Won't do it. There has to be a message in time when there's nothing else can follow it. When nothing else can follow it. Or anything can follow it. Won't do any good. How are you going to top it? What are you going to do for a second act? Can't do it. You know how you can top this? Be in the rapture. So you never top it. And you don't top it even then. That's what it's all about. To put you in it. So therefore, when you get to the end of the road, you don't top the car that took you to destination. You thank the car for getting you there, because that's what you wanted to be. And now the ecumenical world has set up such a regime that there can be no denomination or anything else following. It'll stop the whole thing here. You're in it or you're not in it. The fruit is in the top of the tree, and the light is shining on that predestinated fruit, and she's ripening into Christ-like fruit, bringing forth the same mellowness and sweetness in the same spirit that he had in him. Hope you see it. See, I try to put too much in one day, I wear you out. Now, let's take a look at this. The fruit is in the top of the tree, and the light is shining on that predestinated fruit, and she's ripening into Christ-like fruit, bringing forth the same mellowness and sweetness and the same spirit that he had in him. So he came in the temple one day and he said, now, little boys, I appreciate the fact that you are trying to do this wonderful service to God. And I commend you most heartily for how you are doing it. Now, tut, tut, it shouldn't be done that way. Let us come over here, my dear sir, and do it this way. Hogwash. He took those ropes and bringers, rushed the daylights out of them, smacked them out of the temple. Said, you bunch of geese in here trying to act like eagles. But you're honking, you're squonking. Bunch of chickens running around here. You're a bunch of thieves. He said, you're a father of the devil. So what's a sweet, mellow spirit? I want to know what a sweet, mellow spirit is. I'll tell you what it is. It's one where you can turn the other cheek. You can be defrauded. You still be sweet and kind and go on to Christ. But you better stand with that word as though you were just Jesus Christ himself, turned loose, forgetting that he had only one nature and took upon himself a nature of man. He didn't have a nature of man. He had a physical form. And just really, not just blast the people out, but wreck the whole city. Now let's read the Word of God, see what a real sweet spirit is, and see what a real man of God is. And this is going to take some time, all the time we'll have tonight by the time we read the Scripture. And it's in 2 Corinthians, 11th chapter, beginning at verse 13. And Paul is talking now, and this sweet man of God, who really had this great love and all, he's fussing at these false apostles. Now let's read a little before that. He says, as to verse 10, as the truth of Christ is in me, no man shall stop me of this boasting in the regions of Achaia. He says, I fought my way all the way through to help you guys. Wherefore, because I love you not, God knoweth. Now he's talking about love, about himself. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. He said, they're mouthing off right now and being the top dog. He said, let them get pulled down now. Such are false apostles. Now, a sweet fellow like Paul shouldn't say that. He should say, tut, tut, now, boys. You shouldn't say those things. Now, of course, you know, I could be wrong and you could be right, and who really knows God and the things of God? Things are up for grabs. You think he talked like that? Let's find out. Deceitful workers. He himself said, I don't handle the word deceitfully. Turns around and says they do handle it deceitfully. Transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. When he said, I was transformed by Christ himself into an apostle. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So you know where your daddy is. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers be also transformed as ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works, which is the works of Cain. I say again, let no man think me a fool. I'm some kind of a twerp. If I got a revelation from God, and I'm going to pander to you fellas. What do you think anyway? If otherwise, yet as a fool, receive me, that I may boast myself a little. Let's see what a fool talks like. That which I speak it not after the Lord, but as it were foolishly, in this confidence of boasting. Seeing that many glory after the flesh, I will glory also. You suffer fools gladly, seeing yourselves are so wise. You suffer if a man bring you into bondage. If a man devour you. If a man take of you. If a man exalt himself. If a man smite you on the face. Oh, you're the best people in all the world. You can take it on the chin. You can take your lumps. Oh, you're wonderful. You don't raise your voice. But let me preach the word of God the way it's supposed to be preached. And I'm a skunk. I'm a dog. I'm filth. And I got a bad spirit. Take heed, you preachers out there, especially Western Canada. Yeah, they've got a bad spirit. Yeah, I got a very bad spirit. Because I believe what I teach. I'm supposed to say, oh, gentlemen, forgive me for opening my mouth. I should be dumb in your presence and let you do all the preaching. Not if God called me. That's why I guard this pulpit and preach the way I do. It's my business. When I'm gone, I'm gone. I'm not trying to defy anybody here in place else. I'm just letting people know. If a man exalt himself, so on. I speak as concerning reproach, as though we had been weak. How be it, whereinsoever any man is bold, I speak foolishly, I'm bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Do they follow William Branham? So do I. Are they seed of Abraham? Do we claim to have Christ as Savior? Sure, I do too. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. Now watch. He said, I'm more. And labor is more abundant, and stripes above measure, and prisons more frequent, and deaths often. The Jews 5 times received by 40 stripes, say one. In other words, these guys act as though that we haven't gone through the mill. We haven't paid a price too. Okay, I've got no authority over any man, and I'll allow no man to have authority over me. That's for sure. And I paid a big price shooting my face off, and I'll shoot it off again to pay a bigger price. That's right. I'm not gonna. And I'm not standing alone as old Lee Bale knows something, nobody knows anything. I'm telling you where I stand. You do what you want, honey. You're 100% able to do it. Anybody can do what he wants. And I'll prove it too. I'm not back away. Thrice the beaten rods, one stone, thrice suffered shipwreck, a day and night in the deep. And journeys often, perils of water, perils of rod, perils of my own conduct, so on, weariness, and who is weak, and so on. Now in verse 30, if I must needs glory, I'll glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is breast river, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Regis, the king, kept the city of Damascenes with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me, and threw a window in a basket as he let down on the wall and escaped his hands. It is not expedient me doubtless to glory. I'll come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago in the body. I cannot tell to the body. I cannot tell. God knows. Now, people say that was Paul. Some say it was John. I believe Brother Branham inferred more than the direct statement that was Paul himself. Such a one called up the third heaven, so was William Branham. And I knew such a man within the body, out of the body, I cannot tell, God knew it. W. I. Branham said the same thing. He said, I don't know. How he's caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which are not lawful for man to utter. That'd be Paul. He said certain things he couldn't tell us. Of such a one I will I glory, yet of myself I'll not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear. Lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he hears of me. Now that's the way a man of God is, and I know Brother Branham was, and that's my heart. I don't expect you to believe me because Lee Bale stands here. I just let you know, look, I am preaching what I believe, and I'm glad you're here. I hope you understand. I'd love to have you as my brethren in Christ, providing I am a brother in Christ. I don't know, but I'm obligated to preach what I believe that I know and what I see, and no man's going to stop me. At least I've got to take that stand. Now, if it gets too big for me, somebody stops me, that's that, then he stops me. But I won't stop for any preacher. Because he's not vindicated. I'm not vindicated. We're looking at vindication. But because we preach the presence, we've got a bad spirit. I don't have a bad spirit. I don't go to anybody's church and preach anything. People come here, I don't go there anymore. I've been off the road for years. I started preaching the presence in 1977, almost to the date, like when Brother Branham broke the seals. Had preached it before, but never as I preached it then. In 5 of those years, that's 12 years, 5 of those years, I've been really off the road. Hardly going anywhere. Not more than 5 years. But it's gone around the world. Not me taking around the world. Nobody likes it. Hardly anybody likes it. And many that say they see it don't see it because I can talk to them. They don't know what I'm talking about. They're still back with the baptism. Christ in you, the hope of glory, my brother, sister, and Christ in us. 30 trillion people never produce what was produced in a prophet. God. God. The person. The life itself. Different thing entirely. We have of his life. We have of his spirit. And you can even have his gifts without even having of his spirit in the inside of you. No more sealed in than nothing. Now, for though I would desire to glory, I should not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be or heareth me to be. But William Branham wasn't God. I'm not anybody. I got a gift of teaching. He said, just like you got to get the healing, I'll stand on that. I'll meet you judgment day if you say different. I don't care. I'm not a prophet. But I'll repeat what he said. He said, just like his, I take pride in the fact. Not that I got any pride in myself, but I take pride in the fact that these things come by revelation, by a gift. To bring it down where you can see it. Some people don't want teaching. I couldn't go in the pulpit of some of the people I admire the most. I'm not wanted. Fulfilling the very thing the prophet said. Don't even know it. Yeah. The same one as Brother Bill, we believe we got a gift for the bride. They don't believe it anymore. I don't know if I believe it or not myself. I care less. I'm supposed to preach, I preach. My brother preached to the four corners, preached to the four pillars. We haven't got four pillars, but preach to this. Preach to the tape. No, I don't run you down here. I'm just letting you know what goes on. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. Now, we don't have that. There's given me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger is saying to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that might depart from me. And he said, my grace sufficient thee, my strength made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may be upon me. That goes for every single one of us, but not in that measure. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Now, that's what he's talking about here, that sweet spirit of Christ. But not one time do you leave the word. I am become a fool in glorying. You've compelled me. For I ought to have been commended of you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostle. I'd be nothing. Anybody can say, well, I was this to Brother Branham. I was that. Well, has anybody done more with Brother Branham in his ministry than I did? Show me one person or any five. I challenge you. Go ahead. That's not just a boast. That's a fact. You go ahead. You tell me you said the thing that he said the things he said to me. You go ahead. I'm not trying to make a room for myself. I'm just telling you, look, there is a place where you've got to come to understand, be at peace with yourself and with God, that you stand with that word, and that has nothing to do with the kind of love this word is talking about. And what all the rest are talking about. That's where you stand with that word. You're corked in a bottle, and you're bound in a tube, and you won't move from that word, period. But you won't go out slugging and make a fool of yourself and trying to create a brawl and a riot or something. And you'll take your lumps, but you won't kowtow to anybody. But that's what they want. That's organization and denomination. Yeah, they tried to intimidate me in Memphis. Not John, but his gang did. Now, the one man went around to apologize. I won't accept his apology if he comes to me. There's nothing to apologize for, because I know him what he is. That's right. Now, that's what I'm telling you about. He said, well, that's not love. You have your love, I'll have my love. You have your thoughts, I'll have my thoughts. And I'll tell you something. I'll be ready for the judgment day quicker than you be. Because there's a love for this word that counts more than anything. If our love does not spring from the life that's in this word, which is the conduit, you and I have a phony love. So forget the other. Do what you want. I kid you not. I'm not here to fool with you. I'm not trying to be mean. I love all this sweetness and tenderness. I wish I were. I told you time and again, I went to the prophet because of my preaching. He laughed and said, wow, you wouldn't believe Baal. And I said, hold it, Brother Branham. I said, enough's enough and too much is too much. I was fed up. And he drew back when it had snapped on. He said, it's too late. Somebody's got to tell him. He said, then you're going to be rough. No, I'm not rough. I'm telling where I stand. I'm rough what I believe. You do what you want and how you want it. Be my guest. But don't get in my hair. And don't ever tell me you can step in my place and do my job, because you'll be flattened like a steamroller. Not that I'll do it, but you and I are finished, 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 finished. And I mean it. I'm not trying to be the Apostle Paul or William Branham. God knows. But I want to let you know what's in this word here, what makes those men tick, why they went to the stake. I don't think I'm going to the stake. I don't want anything I do except be a lousy, miserable failure. Brother Man said, he said, Lee, he said, I believe God gave Aaron to Moses. He gave you to me to explain me and minister to people. And I said, yeah, but Aaron cut Moses' throat, didn't he? I try to be honest with you people. I'm not trying to build myself one bit. If you think I'm building myself by psychology, reverse, or direct, let me tell you something. You are wrong. I'm just trying to let you know how I tick the way I tick, how I preach the way I preach, and what I see this is all about. Yet if we don't have the word, the mechanical truth of God, with the life of God we saw manifested, I don't care what you and I produce, it's hogwash and hokum. I don't care. Unless you're foolish virgin. Then you'll get by. Well, you won't be in the bride. Now, he took pleasure in reproaches. Now, he said, truly the signs of apostles are on among you in all patient signs and wonders and mighty deeds. For what is it wherein you are inferior to other churches, except that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. Behold, the third time ready to come to you, I'll not be burdensome to you. I will seek not yours but you. For the children ought not live for the parents, but the parents for the children. Brother Branham did. I think we try to do that here also. Although I don't go and try to make my living. Too late in the day. Now very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Now that's something right there that you got to watch. Now, Paul's telling people, look, he said, I love you, and I want your love. But he said, if it takes going your way, I can't go your way. And if love to you and me means we have got to forsake what we believe to be the message. Brother Brown said, my message is to declare that he is here. And a man went to Bob Brown when he said, well, Bob, he said, I think I understand presence to a degree. But he said, what has it got to do with the message? And Bob says, it is the message. Well, that's what Brother Branham said it was. What presence is it? The same yesterday and today and forever, starting in Genesis 18 as the key. Then you hit Moses in the Exodus. Then you hit Paul. Then you come now. You can't back away from that. Say, well, I think everybody else believes that. Everybody believes that Jesus is the Son of God and died and shed his blood. What's it going to do for him? Listen, I'm not finished here. I got my notes. I'm only a few pages. What time is it? Hardly any time left? About 5-6 minutes left? Okay, just going to read this. Now he said, Be it so. I did not burn you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them that I sent you? Now, Paul said, I caught you with guile. So it is not a bad thing if anybody really puts the pressure on and lets you know these things. And lets you know what the truth is, where you stand. I may have rocked some of you right on your heels. I realize that. I've been rocked on my heels, rocked right on my heels by a prophet. Not once, but more than once. So you've been just rocked by me. That's nothing. Get rocked by a prophet. Carry out feet first if you're blaspheming. Again, thinking we excuse ourselves, we speak before God and Christ. But we do all things dearly beloved for your edifying. For I fear lest when I come I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as I would not. Ho ho. You think that could happen in the resurrection? Could, I don't know. Brother Brandon comes back. He will come back, you know. He made a claim of that. The last or first. The first or last, he positively laid that on himself. I read it here. He laid it on, at least I read it somewhere. I think I read it here. He laid it on himself. Lest there be debates, envies, wrath, strifes, backbiting, whisperings, swellings, and tumults. Unless when I come again, my God will humble me among you. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I'm just saying, look, he's coming up anyway. But that'll be our condition, because that is the condition now. And I shall bewail many which have all sinned already, and are not repented of the uncleanness of fornication, the lasciviousness which they committed. Is he talking about the flesh only? No, he's talking about the spirit. This is the third time I'm coming to you in the mouth of two or three witnesses, that every word be established. They told you before and foretell you, as if I were present the second time, being absent, and I write to them which hitherto have sinned, and to all other, that if I come again, I will not spare you. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, which to you word is not weak, but is mighty in you. Well, he said, you know what's going on in you by what I told you, which you received. Do you believe you're being changed in the atoms now? Do you believe you're being made ready? Do you believe the inner garment's being put on you internally and eternally? You got to believe it. Look at that's what it says in 2 Corinthians, the fourth chapter. Paul's vindicating himself here as the man that's doing it. For though he's crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. The great intercessor. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. He preaches, what if you come in Ephesians? Examine yourself, whether you be in the faith, and prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates? But I trust that you shall know that you're not reprobates. Now I pray to God that you do no evil. Not that we should appear approved, but that we should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Then let's get on the side of the truth. I just wanted to read this. So let you know where Brother Brandon stood, and where by the grace of God we as a people stand. When I talk about myself here, I talk about myself the same as Brother Brandon talked concerning himself and the bride in an understanding of a headship, which was a demonstrated, vindicated headship of Christ, that he preached the living word. And I'm taking that same word by the grace of God and allying myself with you and you with me, and I as your spokesman, telling these things that we stand for. But you do what you want. I can't read your hearts. But I know one thing, if William Branham wasn't that prophet, I'm not looking for any other. He didn't have that word, who cares? Because you can't pull a second act on this one. I'm going to tell you, once you take a magician's hat and you pull out the elephant, no use looking for rabbits from that point on. Because that's all you'll get. Because there's only one elephant to an eternity. And you and I'm talking in the illustration. You don't get Elijah, brother, sister. You don't get this ministry, return ministry of Jesus Christ. But this one time, you do not supersede it. You do not anti-climax the climax. This is it. Brother Branham stood up, said it's a beauty. The apostle said, live or die, sink or swim, this is it. To where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? No place to go. You're stuck. If the prophet is in the tube, they that believe the prophet are in the tube too. If the prophet was in Christ, they that believe that prophet are in Christ too. And that's what Paul said. He said, look, I proved it. I demonstrated. If you believe it, quit all this mucking and fussing around and get to the centrality of the gospel. Get to what has gone on in your day. And he laid it down to a vindicated message. That's exactly why the prophet came with a vindicated message. That's why this age ends with a message. That's why message foreruns a literal coming. Christ, the messenger of the covenant, with an end time covenant messenger, came as in the days of his flesh upon earth, and in the Holy Spirit with that prophet brought that word of reconciliation and completion to where our hearts are turned back to the Father's. In other words, when your heart is turned back to the Father's, Alpha has become Omega. Laodicea has turned back to Ephesus. We've come the way of the paradox that I taught you some time ago. We're right back in that position. And brother, sister, then it's got to be all over. That's what he said, I believe it. This, what we have seen and are seeing, not seeing, no, believing, is absolutely the conditions to the rapture going to get us there. Do you believe that? That's all you can do, brother, sister, believe. You've got nothing else you can do. What am I going to do to show it? I'd be better Christian. There's millions out there. That's good. I'm fall for it. But there's millions out there. It'll deliberately rise up and hate because of what we teach. Now, do we hate because of what they teach? Now, we have a right to hate what they teach because they'd have destroyed us. We'd have no right to hate them. But I'm going to tell you something, brother, sister. It comes to the place where we're not going to be hated for what we believe. It's we're going to be hated because of who we are for what we believe. Now, that's putting it the nth degree. Yeah, because it's a mixture. You can maybe hate us because we're supposed to be, we're junk. That's true. But they'll hate us for what we believe and being what we believe. Because you are what you believe. So it's a double portion all the way through. I know it sounds a little bit unreasonable, but that's my reasoning. I'm just trying to let you know it begins to multiply and get worse and worse. But God loves us, and our job is to love everybody. Get that sweet spirit amongst us. What is that sweet spirit? It's to stand with this word no matter what happens. To defy the elements and to stand up against those, not to hurt anybody, but to say, look, I want to tell you something. This is what he said. And this is how it dovetails with the word. This is the understanding we have. Because you see, when you try to make somebody believe like you do, that's what organization does. We can't do that. That's not our job. We have a testimony. We can do what we can. That's that sweet Christ-like melanus that says yes to Jesus, that dies for him, that bears our cross. Because, brother, sister, I don't believe for 1 minute we have come to the place where we're really bearing any cross yet for this word, except amongst ourselves. And we'll hit a couple spots later on. But that's about as far as we go today. Lord bless you. Let's rise at this time, shall we, and be dismissed. Gracious Heavenly Father, we realize tonight many things are said, sound very, very hard, Lord, but not intended to be hard, because outside this pulpit, Father, just back away from everything that was said. People can do what they want, believe the way they want, that's their business. But in this pulpit, Lord, I believe you put me here according to what the prophet said, not trying to make myself anything, Lord, or trying to bring his words to pass, but just what he said, Lord, I believe that's my job, to preach exactly what I see here, explaining him and this message to the people. And I, Lord, I believe that I've had your help to do it. I trust my spirit has been right in doing it, because, Father, tonight, I know in my heart that we feel very, very hurt about these things. We don't like any of these problems that rise. We'd like to have peace with all men, oh God. We certainly would. And I believe we can have peace with all men. And these problems, Lord, they will be here, but they'll take on a level in our lives which will just make us steadfast and strong to sweetly and confidently do the will of Almighty God. Help each one of us, Lord, tonight, to be sweet and humble and kind to each other and to every man, every brother, and in the world out there, Lord, to learn to turn the other cheek, to walk the extra mile, to do whatever is necessary, but at all the time standing with this word. Even as Paul said, I'm criticized, I'm a heretic in the face of the people, in their eyes, because I worship you the way I worship. And Lord, that's our prayer and our testimony tonight. And if that's the way it's going to be, then Father, may we with joy take any beating or any whipping or any loss whatsoever to being glad to stand with this word. Father, that's the spirit we want, not any other spirit. And Lord, I know I don't have near enough of it, though I have got in me what it takes to bring it out. And I pray, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, that it will come out in me and in every single person within the sound of my voice, whether in this building or on the tape to hear it. That's my earnest prayer tonight, Lord, because that's what we want to fulfill, exactly what the prophet said, that sweet, mellow, ripe spirit in the church, because it knows who it is and what it is and where it's going. And we'll stand with this word, and in sorrow, Lord, look upon others. Help us not to be vehement, and not to be angry, not to be hateful in any way, Lord, as we stand for this truth, but in righteousness, O God. So we are not hypocrites using anything as a club. Now, Lord, we admit many times we've done that, and Lord, in the future, unless you help us, we're sure to do it again. But Father, we don't want to be defiant. We don't want to do any of these things. We want to be meek within your will, within your word, O God. So Father, we pray, bathe us in your Holy Spirit. Wash us with your word.